Christian greetings to those we love. We sang that song, and some of the words were, we gather with those we love, and then in the final passing, why we'll be gathered home with Jesus in those, with those we love. Hope you can deal with me this morning. I just kind of developed a cold just yesterday or whatever it was. I usually don't get much of that. But anyhow, we greet you in the name of Jesus. Jesus, a special name. The only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And also, we see these signs, these green signs and white lettering stuck in yards and places. And when we see that name, it's like Henry says, there's just something about it. It's very, very special to us because it is the one, the only one, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And we certainly appreciate his great love to us. It gave us hope where there wasn't any. There was a time when we were without hope and without God in the world. But now we have a God. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Excuse me, chapter 2. I'm going to read the first let's see, who is the janitor? Could I have a glass of water? Anyhow, Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. Thank you. For out of thee shall come a governor. A governor, remember that. A governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for that young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. That's as far as I plan to read. Jesus, where is this king, Jesus, the king of the Jews? Well, the Jews were not very happy with this thing, even though, why didn't they rejoice when they knew that the prophet had said, in Bethlehem, that's where he's going to be born. So why did they reject him when he came? I guess they were expecting a different plan than what the Lord had. And so couple weeks ago when I was here, I think I talked about the everlasting kingdom. If you remember, I thought I did. Let's put it that way. The everlasting kingdom. This kingdom that will have no end. And, excuse me. Jesus, the prophet Isaiah prophesied. I'll just read those verses in chapter 9 of Isaiah. Very encouraging words when he says that there shall a child be born. He has several prophecies here, but I'm just going to read in chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. For of the increase of his government, notice what I read here, he was to be a governor. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it, and with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. And so here we have this kingdom of God and of Jesus being established. The kingdom. Now David Berceau says it's the kingdom that turned the world upside down. His book is entitled that way. But he says actually it's the kingdom that turns the world right side up. It's the kingdom that is established to be an everlasting kingdom, and we are serving, or at least I hope we're serving, in this kingdom. If we're not, it's time we wake up. And I think it's time a lot of the world wakes up to the fact that there's two kingdoms in the world. There's the kingdom of the world, and there's the kingdom of God. I say it's not in the world. That kingdom's not in the world necessarily. It's not, and that's why the Jews were disappointed that they couldn't be, Jesus would be a king. He would release them from the Roman rule and they could just have a holy time together. But they ended up, it was anything but holy, I guess. And so this kingdom that turns the world right side up, is a kingdom that will never end. And, excuse me, we serve in the kingdom either, dearly beloved, we're either serving in God's kingdom or we're serving in the kingdom of the world. There's only two ways. There's only two destinations. But let me say, heaven will be worth it all. Do you have a passport? I'm going to share a message here. It's from the Bible. A lot of verses I'm going to use, but it's not original with me. I brought it together from several messages. Otherwise, that I was really blessed with, and it's. Do you have your passport? And of the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of heaven. Do you have that passport? I know a number of us have traveled out of the country in various places, and we needed a passport. The passport of our country is an official document certifying the citizenship of the bearer. It is issued by the country of which he is a citizen, and grants him permission to travel abroad under the government's protection. We would be protection if we would get into trouble. We would be, and I've read already of people that got in trouble, and they went to the U.S. Embassy of that country And things turned out all right. Also gives him a privilege to enter back into our country. And that's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? It seems very good when we're out of the country for, you know, several weeks and we come back in and we're on U.S. soil. That's a pretty good feeling. But even in this here, dearly beloved, we are strangers and pilgrims. We're citizens of the U.S., yes, but we're strangers and pilgrims here because we're only traveling through, as our song, I really appreciated that song, Brother Simon, we're just traveling through on our various ways. But we all want to end up in heaven, in that eternal kingdom which has no end. And of course, the word passport is made up of two words, pass, to go, or by, or to move past, and then port, which is a harbor. And thus, you know, a passport is a document that gives us permission to pass through and enter certain countries and so forth. And let's turn now to compare these with our spiritual passport. A spiritual passport is issued by the heavenly kingdom. By the heavenly kingdom. By Jesus Christ himself. God so loved us that he gave his son to redeem us. That we can have that blessed hope beyond the grave. He rose and so forth. You know that story well. And of course, when we are heavenly citizens, we have this passport, this spiritual passport. It certifies our citizenship. Paul says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies into the likeness of his own body with the... And I can't get the rest of those. He can subdue all things unto himself. In Philippians chapter, what is that verse now? Chapter 3, verse 20. We have this privilege. Now, the passport also gives us the privilege to enter in through the portals of heaven. For it says there, and there's conditions to meet, brethren and sisters, and we need to think seriously about this and about our journey here, because the decisions that and the choices we make today are going to be revealed in eternity. And so let us take care. Let us take heed, because God is keeping record. But what I missed out, I've got a good rabbit chasing here. It gives us this privilege to enter into the gates, the portals of heaven, because in Revelation 22, verse 14, it says, blessed are they which do the commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life, and enter in through the gates into the city. Oh, what a wonderful entrance that will be. A passport to heaven. Now, what all is included in a passport? In citizenship? Citizenship calls us to, we owe our allegiance to the ones we serve, to the country of which we are a part of. Now, let's not get this mixed up with with our country here, our citizenship, our passport here, because we don't plan to stay here. We're not serving in this kingdom here. We appreciate God has given us a country where we have freedom of religion. It's given us a country where the Bible is still preached to a degree, I guess. At least we're allowed to gather with our loved ones this morning and just have a good time worshiping and honoring our Heavenly Father. So we are people on the move, and of course included in our passport to heaven. You know, we are a native of the heavenly commonwealth. We are a part of Christ's spiritual kingdom, the kingdom that will never end. And as the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 1, verses 12 and 13, he says that we give thanks unto God who has made us meet to be partakers of the heavenly, the inheritance of the saints, which is heavenly and has delivered us from the powers of darkness. The powers of darkness is a terrible place to be. And so he has delivered us, made us. Peter talks about the inheritance, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, we have this heavenly commonwealth that we serve in, and of course the citizen owes his allegiance to God, not unto our president. And we have not joined. We were taught from a little boy in the first grade not to lay your hand when the class stands up, lay your hand over your heart and say, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America." And I could go on and quote that, but it's something that's etched in my memory for many years ago. But we were asked not to participate in that. Well, they tolerated that. But our allegiance is to God, and that is who we serve. The allegiance, let's see, where am I at here? We owe our allegiance to the, and are entitled to protection, because we are in the family of God, partakers of the promises of Christ, and you know, we have the rights of belonging to God Himself, a child of God. And so the spiritual citizenship is obtained by what? The new birth, right? I think so. The new birth. You know how Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus, he was asking about, he says, "We know that you are a man from God, because anybody else couldn't do all these miracles that you do." And then Jesus told him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God." Born anew, for God so loved the world. And of course, being born to Christian parents doesn't qualify us to get this citizenship, to get this passport to heaven. Regardless, I mean, it is a real blessing to be born in a family where there was parents that were believing, were Christian parents, and they taught us to serve God. They taught us what was right and what was wrong. And if we didn't obey, we got punished. And so we learned to obey and realize that we can't do anything of ourselves. We need God. Being born in Christian parents does not qualify us for this citizenship, even though it's a great blessing that we should not despise. And brothers and sisters, I'm finding out that a lot of young people of our day are despising that very thing. God forbid, let it be a real blessing. Honor your parents, your father and your mother. the way the Bible teaches us. Nor can we gain it by adoption. Rather, we must be spiritually adopted into the family of God. Paul mentions that in Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We are adopted into the family of God, and we cannot gain the relationship with God by our own merits, but alone through Christ Jesus. That's why that name Jesus means so much, for there is no other way. Jesus left heaven's glory, came down here. He didn't think it robbery to be as God and yet be the God-man and live here among men to experience the temptations and the troubles and trials that he faced, that man that we face ourselves, the temptations. But the one thing that he didn't do that you and I did was yield to temptation. He didn't do that. He was the perfect God-man here on earth. Isaiah prophesied also that thou shalt call his name, he shall be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. So he was God. He was perfect. He was in the flesh, human flesh. I think it's John. I know there's people that don't believe that. But John says in chapter 4, I believe, that that is the spirit of Antichrist that does not believe that Jesus was in the flesh. So I think that's very clear. So we are saved by grace, not of ourselves. We can't gain this passport of ourselves. Not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which we should, those words, some of those are just left me. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God is still working in me. God is still working in you to finalize, to complete this workmanship. I believe he'll be working on us until the day we leave this earth and keeping us, like we were talking about this morning, keeping us from the evils, keeping us from the diseases, keeping us from the trials and troubles, and having the angels watch over us as we travel the highway of life. And that is, we are purchased by God and can claim him as our Father, in whom ye also trusted. The Apostle Paul, again bringing this message to the Ephesians, he said, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye have believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of his glory. And so through naturalization, all men, including even the Gentiles, they were included in this salvation thing, you know. Some of the Jews were quite hesitant to accept the fact that the Gentiles were included. But he says that the Gentiles, wherefore, remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, brethren and sisters, It is such a difference when we come to the Lord Jesus, when we are born again, when we receive this passport to, of the country of heaven, the commonwealth of heaven. And so, but now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God. The passport to heaven that we read in Ephesians 2, 11 through 13 and on into 19. Christ made it possible that we can have a passport with a certification of citizenship in his spiritual kingdom. Will we all choose to get that passport? Will we all choose to be citizens of the heavenly kingdom? The kingdom that somehow, you know, Paul went about preaching the kingdom. There's a lot of verses like that that I would have loved to incorporate, and I know this time is going so fast. But Paul went about preaching the kingdom. And of course, we just want to be in that kingdom and not neglect it. Are there any here that will not choose? I don't know. I don't know your heart, but God does. To obtain an earthly passport, one must abide and must be able to prove his identity. And you know, especially those that have had passports or have them, there's information there. They want to know who you are. They want to know when you were born. They want to know your parents and names and so forth and so on. And anybody that willfully or knowingly gives false statements or proofs of identity is considered a serious offense and is punishable by a fine and maybe imprisonment even. And in the spiritual realm, there's also proofs to verify our identity in the kingdom of God. Identify us as a child of God. The scriptures give us a list of identifying marks whereby we can ascertain our status as a citizen. In Psalms 87, verses 2 through 6, we understand that God records the birth of each of his children. Do you think it's recorded in heaven? It's usually recorded in some courthouse somewhere where we were born. Says he records his children, the birth of each children in heaven. And when we are baptized into the church, we give a public testimony of our union with Christ. Excuse me. Which identifies us as a child of God. And God also requires honesty and sincerity in this relationship with him. If we knowingly misinterpret our identity, we will be severely judged by God. And sadly, you know, brother and sister, sadly today, there's too many people that claim to be Christians but are living in pretense, falsely claiming heavenly citizenship when their lives do not verify or confirm their pretense. It's like the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus says, what they tell you to do, this do, but don't go according to their works. In fact, he said in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Jesus also told us in Matthew 7, verses, 21 and 22, 23, says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And we have also some responsibilities as citizens of the heavenly kingdom. We need to really and truly give our full allegiance to God, our King. No man can serve two masters. Either you will love the one and hate the other, or you will love the hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We are to be loyal to the cause of Christ. If any man will serve me, these are Jesus' words in John 12:26. If any man will serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So we are to be patriotic in the kingdom of heaven as well. More so than here. Even though we love our nation, we love our place of our birthplace and our blessings that we have received in being here, heaven is something else. And we are, as Christians, we are to give our allegiance to God only, to serve Him only. And we are to love our heavenly kingdom and to tell people about that heavenly kingdom, zealously guarding the welfare of it. You know, I find that here in our country, more and more in Australia, we had people that would just simply do away with the Bible. They wouldn't believe that. It's just man's writing. You can't do it. And my heart was burning with jealousy for the Word of God and for the Lord. And let us zealously guard its welfare and realize that there is no other way but to serve Him and honor Him. And Moses is a good example for us in this way. He denied himself of all that the kingdom of Egypt could offer him. He was next in line for the king of Egypt, but he denied himself of all that the earthly country had to offer, became a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. By faith, Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach. Notice this here. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know, Moses looked forward. He looked forward to where this thing was going to lead him if he follows that path. And I'm afraid there's so many people in our world today, so many in our nominal Christian congregation that they're not looking where they're going to go. If they go the route, they make the choices that they're taking, they're not going to end up where they really want to go. So let's take heed on that. There's so many people that are just not really checking things out. And so a spiritual passport does not have an expiration date. But you know, it can be revoked. It's interesting. It's interesting that some people say, and multitudes of them say, that once I'm saved, I'm saved. I'm always saved. And they can go on sin, live in sin, do as they please. Well, that's not true. That's changing the very commandments that Jesus gave us, and rejecting And it's interesting that yesterday at a funeral of a friend, I met a young man. I think he's quite a bit younger than I am. He used to preach up here at the Baptist Church in Cottage Grove. I had actually kind of forgotten him. But he says, he talked about Claire and Ida cleaning the church house, and that they had some real theological discussions with Claire and Ida. And there's one thing that he finally got to the point where he understood and he agreed with those sisters that eternal security is a false hope. Today he preaches in a Methodist church in Clarksville. But he says he always had a struggle with that. That once you're saved, you can do as you please. You're just all forever saved. And he said he finally got to the point where he studied enough. And, of course, I quoted the scripture to him about the in the Revelations as well. He says, it says that we will, if we obey, if we do the commandments of God, he will not blot our name out of the book of life. So it must have been in there before it can be blotted out. And that's what's happening to a lot of people. Just a lot of people. They just claim that they can go ahead and do this. But we have some restrictions. And if we don't obey, if we don't follow the commandments of the Lord, our name will be removed. Our passport will be revoked. God is a jealous God, and we require that we give him full allegiance. And sadly, there's many today who are despising their spiritual birthright, the right of inheritance as a heavenly citizen. Some are allowing cares and pleasures to distract them, thereby committing spiritual fornication. Others are allowing their love and loyalty to Christ to wax cold as they drift worldward. Some are hiding their light under a bushel. They're not being the light. Others profess to know God, but their works deny him. Many are trying to serve two masters. Going to have to cut this short, but the Christian passport is for overcomers. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before the angels. If we fail to be overcomers, but we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, Paul says in Romans 8. And some of the privileges that we have when we, I'm going to have to bring this to a close, but we'll receive an inheritance that is reserved in heaven for us. We will be privileged to eat of the tree of life, of the hidden manna, and receive a white stone with a new name. We will receive a crown of life. And all these verses have the 1 Peter 4, 1, Revelations 2, 7, Revelations 2, 17, Revelations 2, 10. And then we will hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And so the heavenly citizenship, it doesn't conflict with our citizenship here. The Apostle Paul was a Roman citizen. He had and the Roman citizens had a number of exceptions. And I'm not going to go into that. But We also profess allegiance to the heavenly country. Jesus answered Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from hence." So let's not be overtaken with the kingdom of this world and the things of this world. You know, dear friends, do you have a valid spiritual Christian passport? Are you on the way to glory? Like a good friend, a preacher friend of mine used the phrase very often, he's blood washed, sin cleansed, and on his way to glory. Sin cleansed, blood washed, and heaven bound. That was his story. So, eternity, again I say, your eternity will reveal the outcome of your choices that you make today. And so, as I said, there's only two ways. Jesus is still saying, "Come ye blessed. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He is still calling, still encouraging us. And if we make mistakes, if we sin, let's get them confessed and under the blood to where we can have that clear sheet. You know, heaven will be worth it all. Let's make our calling and election sure. Let's not neglect that in any way, that our passport would be revoked. But let's make our calling and election sure. For so an entrance, says Peter, will be given us into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's make that a priority. Thank you for your prayers. Appreciate being here with you, those that I love. You're in our prayers, even in our absence, as we work away from here. We're not traveling all the time, that's for sure. I've been working for our son. Actually, I've been working for my grandson the past year, and now our son Samuel is ceasing from moving buildings, and he will operate the meat processing place called Countryside Meats. And so that's where I am most of the time. So do pray for us. We appreciate you all, and let's continue on this journey with our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry I went over time, but let's kneel for prayer.